Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegelman Holmes Show Flashback.
Comes down to one last play. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! It's a miracle! It's Stella Brown! Oh my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
Just got out of the locker room. Obviously, the guys are disappointed. When you lose a game like that, that's a tough one to swallow. This is one game, right? I know it's, like I said, when you lose on the last play, it's going to hurt, right?
Right.
Yep.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to hang out with Stinger and Stinger 2 and Buzzy and Wings.
And Ruth Buzzy.
And Stripey. We got Ruth Buzzy. Oh, that's good. It's Ruth Buzzy. I'm going to go hang out with my bees.
If you get that reference. Make sure your affairs are in order. If you would like to come with me, or instead with Wani and Tanny, they're going to be at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan, and it's going to be Sunday. It's going to be a good time. 5:30 Eastern, 4:30 Central, because there is a time change. So 5:30 Eastern, 4:30 Central on Sunday at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. It's going to be great. If you haven't hung out with Wani and or Tanny, you are in for a treat. So go to Four Winds Casino this Sunday. Watch the NFL slate. Get ready for Sunday Night Football with our guys. So the Hail Mary last year was an inflection point for the Bears.
Yeah, it was. I think without punishing Tyreek Stevenson head on and making it extend into the week, and then doing it softly the way that he did, Matt Eberflus effectively lost that team.
Yeah, and you had a player who didn't quite understand the depth of the mistake. And I was in the locker room the next week when people had asked him about it, and it still didn't quite come out. You know, like he didn't see it for what it is.
Yeah. But you know, we've had an opportunity these last 2 weeks, I guess 3 weeks now with the bye, to observe a Tyreek Stevenson that we see growing. We've talked about it. Other people have noticed it as well, obviously. Growing in terms of his work habits, his study habits, his practice habits.
And maybe figuring out why some of that stuff has been an issue for him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the hope is that it continues. Growth is not always linear. There might be some fallbacks here. But here's what he had to say about using all of that stuff from last year as a growing experience.
Here we are today, so I'm here for all questions to get it all answered.
It's like talking to Kevin Byard on his podcast. He said it still hurts. Why does it still hurt, and sort of how do you use that to help you grow from it?
Like I said on the podcast, it still hurts because at the end of the day, I'm a football player, and the last thing I want to do is have a play that's not so good and my name be memorable. You know, on top of all the good things I did, it could go overshadow that, but just use it as motivation to come out and stay focused on all tasks, and definitely learn to wait till the clock hit 00. So just use that as a learning curve to mature and be the cornerback that this team needs.
What was it like going through that?
It was harsh, it hurt my feelings, and the best thing, that's the best way I could explain it, just hurt my feelings, just you know, being a football player and having one of those mistakes that's going to linger around even when my son grew up, you know, got to explain that to him. So definitely hurt, but just use it as fuel.
Did it make you better?
Knowing that these fans, how fans react, they're going to be trying to get at you this weekend. How do you mentally prepare yourself just for whatever you might face from the crowd in Washington?
By remembering that it's 10 guys that I've been working with all week to prepare for this game, and I'm the only 10 guys I got to answer to.
Tyreek Stevenson, he says he knows when his son grows up that his son is going to have to answer for that. That remember that that the internet lives forever. It's printed in ink, and it's going to be there. And he just had that son. Tyreek Jr. Yeah. is brand new to his life. To me, that's part of the story that's going on. Our interview with Jalen Johnson was wonky technologically the other day. But we did get at least the beginning of an answer from him about Tyreek and how he sees that the switch has flipped. And in terms of kind of like playing like a grown-up, practicing like a grown-up, I can't help but think that having a son can do that to you, as there he is referencing that right there in an honest answer about his feelings being hurt.
That's right. And I was thinking about this because, and we'll play this game right now.
Okay.
When we saw the guy.
Is it Piggy? I'm ready to play.
Now you know the rules. You can play it. But when you saw the kid from Arizona drop the ball at the one-yard line, what's the first name you thought of?
DeMarcado. The first name I thought of was DeSean Jackson.
Right? And so
– damn good NFL career.
Yeah, really good NFL career.
Legendary and plays. DeSean Jackson, you could think of his punt return in, what, the final minute?
Yes.
In a Giants-Eagles game?
Yes. But that's one of the things that'll live on his resume
yes.
and at the top of his resume.
You're right.
And it's the same thing for Tyreek. And – I appreciate the acknowledgement of it. I also appreciate the vulnerability to be like, yeah, it hurt. It hurt, and it still hurts to know that I didn't do right by the guys that are on my team in that moment.
Yeah.
And figuring that part out and not maybe lashing out at people or whatever, that's growth. That's understanding and being accountable for what it is that you've done. Instead of kind of projecting outward and be like, oh, well, this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. No,
yeah.
I messed up. And I have to live with that.
The other sub-story on this one is Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. And here's what Caleb had to say about what he has learned in his weeks and months since that game.
Does it still sting? Obviously, you don't want to lose, especially in that fashion of a Hail Mary. So does it bother me? I'm not going to speak for everybody else. Does it bother me? Yeah, in the sense of, you know, I want to go out there and I want to win every single game that I got. And I know that's not going to happen. So, you know, being able to, you know, orchestrate, you know, this game, orchestrate this week, you know, have the guys focus on what we need to focus on, I think is where I'm at, and not necessarily going down the rabbit hole of you know, the revenge title or anything like that. You know, I think it's being able to focus on us. This team's different than last year. The coaching obviously is different. Every, you know, a bunch of things are different. So being able to focus on us and be able to lead these guys the way that, you know, they need to be led, and be able to go out there and focus on what we need to focus on to be able to go win the game at the end of the day.
Because of how that game ended last year and how the subsequent ones went after that, what did you learn about, I guess, that 24-hour rule? Because I know you mentioned it at the time with Arizona, like just being able to flush something that was so bad and being able to move on. As a leader, what did you learn about that?
Yeah, I got to do a better job in those situations. I think, you know, we had those first two games this year. And I think I did a better job of, you know, being able to come into the facility and be able to move on. And, you know, we got our tails whooped the second game. We, you know, we had a comeback game that we allowed the team to come back on us. So, you know, those are tough games, especially to start the season, and, you know, versus divisional opponents. So being able to come in here and be the same guy, but also understand, you know, my energy, my attitude, my, you know, how I come in here each and every day, you know, whether it's a win or a loss, you know, affects everybody, affects the building. And so, you know, I think it starts with myself and being able to and look at myself in the mirror. In those ways when things aren't going right, and then being able to come in here when things are going right and be the exact same guy.
Did the homecoming aspect to that game add to the sting for you?
Yeah, that was probably a little bit of it. Just because, you know, when you go back home, I think any player, any coach, any, you know, whatever case, any competitor, when you go back home and, you know, you're going to be in front of whether your people are actually there or, you know, they're going to be watching because it's home. And so being able to you know, come out with a win. Always feels a little bit better when you can do it at home, and, you know, not being able to go back home as much as, you know, you may like or anything like that because of what the job requires. And so when you do get to go back home and play in front of a crowd and play in front of, you know, a crowd that, you know, many fans were, you know, whether it's high school or, you know, little leagues or anything like that, that, you know, have watched me growing up, you know, you want to be able to win those games.
The crazy thing about Caleb kind of rehashing everything that happened in Washington for me is, had the Tyreek play not happened, the headline from that game is Caleb Williams rallies Bears to tough road win. That's what becomes the thing in that game, is Caleb Williams having this victorious homecoming.
Agreed.
And it's funny because he downplayed going back there last year.
But he acknowledges it now.
And now it might have been like, oh, it's not a big deal. I don't feel feelings. And then you walk in there like, oh, I'm feeling feelings.
I'm glad he's acknowledging it, man. You're human, dude. It's all right. And I feel like it's kind of a process for Caleb. We're seeing much more of a genuine, comfortable dude this year than we saw last year. And I get it. You're young. You're trying to lead. Just like you said at the beginning of that thing.
Yeah.
It's a matter of leading guys the right way. The more genuine you are, the easier it is to lead, in my opinion.
Speaking of leadership.
Yo.
Someone I know has got some leadership questions that we need to talk about.
I got some work to do.
No, you're fine. Yeah. But you do have a thing.
I got a thing. I got commitments.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, you need to play complimentary football to beat this team. This is a really good football team. I think Dan Quinn's an outstanding coach. These guys play hard. They play inspired football. You know, there are a lot of similarities between what we faced a couple weeks ago with the Raiders and a Pete Carroll-led team. I can't say enough good things about the identity. You know, it's physical, it's fast, and you can tell that they're a really unified group and they play well for each other.
That was Ben Johnson. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. It is Mark Grody and Layla Raheemi today, and I'm still not done laughing at her last segment.
Clown.
There's just, everybody has a lot of questions. Like 630, is the clown a season ticket holder? I don't understand how people afford to go to all these games, LOL. 708, clown gets eight bears. 815 says, put clown on watch list immediately. And then the guy calling in to call Eddie Vedder the Smashing Pumpkins guy.
Racist.
Yes.
What
a clown.
That's a clown question, bro. Remember Bryce Harper?
Yes, I remember it well because they asked him about not being able to drink because he was not yet 21 in Major League Baseball. And he's like, I'm Mormon, I don't drink.
That's right. That's true.
That's a clown question, bro.
What other famous clown moments have we had through the years? I think that's it. That's a clown
question,
bro.
Well, wasn't there Joe Madden that brought the clown to do a little entertainment for the Cubs to loosen them up?
It's kind of appropriate that we're talking about this in October. He did?
Yeah.
It was one of the many tricks of Joe Madden to keep the team loose.
Right, or was it a magician?
There was a magician. Was there also a clown, or maybe I'm just conflating these?
I thought it was a magician, now that I think about it.
The Egyptian magician. That's a Jerky Boys thing, by the way.
What's that?
Enough out of you, man. You know?
You clown!
Yeah, Molly with a strong, you clown.
No, that was an emphatic.
Was that
clown.
A caller he was clowning? I'd like to know the
Manchester
context.
City.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clown.
Oh, yeah. He had a good point there.
What if Clown played sports and, like, Clown caught up? Clown down the sideline!
Well, there is Jadeveon Clowney. Does that count?
Oh, very good.
You call that dude a clown, and clown! I don't know how it's going to go for you.
Yeah, that doesn't count. That's a last name, and there's an EY on the end. I want a straight forward clown. Maybe if I ever have a child.
The encyclopedia only works so well. What?
I'll name the child Clown. Clown Grody. But I'll do like a C-H-L-O-W-N or something like that.
Chlone?
Yeah. No, it's like Chloe. C-H-L-O-E is Chloe, right?
So, yeah.
So that's the pronunciation. American language. It's hard.
Hey!
As a side note, I just want to say I've been going to the probable pitchers page on MLB.com and constantly refreshing. Matthew Boyd officially now
there it is
starting.
Matthew Boyd, he knows what he's got to do.
Your move, Pat Murphy. And by the way,
Daddy Gang.
Hey,
by the way, what inning did Pat Murphy have to go to that pancake, huh? Because I wanted him to run out of snacks by the fourth. Do you remember that? That was my goal.
If Freddie Peralta doesn't pitch today, that's the cockiest move ever made in mankind.
Mankind?
Mankind.
It's pretty cocky.
Do you know how many
it's
wars were started over nothing?
That's
There's
true.
Literally a war called the Pastry War. Are you really sure that this is of all mankind?
The Pastry War?
Yeah.
I don't know about the Pastry War.
The joke was that it was essentially fought because of pastries. We went to war for spices, for
God's
sake. Oh,
that's true, from the New World.
Yeah, do you really, you know, just consider that.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa, Maria.
If they don't start Freddie Peralta in human history... Where does it sit?
I mean, pretty highly, I think, really. Maybe right behind the spice side, the New World. The New World! The New World and the New Order. The New Order and the...
The NWO?
And the NWO. But, yeah, man, it's got to be Freddie. And that's not official yet, still?
Still, as I refresh here at 11:08, still TBD for the Brewers for today. And we have Matthew Boyd starting for the Cubs. And I agree. They would be very cocky because it's saying,
yeah,
like, hey, we're saving Freddie Peralta for the championship series.
Yeah, so. I mean, if it worked out, that then I would change considerably in terms of my thinking right now that the Cubs have a clear path to the National League Championship Series.
Well, what if they end up forcing a Game 5 and then you see him in Game 5?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean.
In Milwaukee.
That would change my thought process. If it's in Milwaukee on Saturday, which it would be, then... Unless there's something wrong with Freddie Peralta, then it'd be Freddie Ball, and I probably would not be picking the Cubs.
Oh, I see. I
see what I'm saying?
Well, perhaps that is the strategery there.
Maybe.
Unfortunately, this entire conversation may be more productive than the Bears' run game. And while you think it's bad, it's not as bad as you might initially think. It's in like the bottom third, but it's not right like out toward the bottom. The Bengals are averaging the lowest offensive running output per game, 57 yards. Uh-huh.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
All to get what?
Yep. Now, the Bears are averaging 102.3. And then it's the Eagles at 99.8. Goes down from there with the Browns, Patriots, Niners, Titans, Dolphins, Steelers, and Bengals. So when you consider that, as much as we talk about the run game and try to figure it out as a collective, relatively speaking, it's still not as bad as you might think. But here's another side part to this. You know who's best so far in the league in yards per game rushing?
Probably
the Washington Commanders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have a better Kyle Manunga guy than we do in Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt.
Yes.
He's their seventh rounder.
Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, Bill.
But I say all of this to say that Ben Johnson told us time and time again, he needed the offense to be reevaluated during the bye week. And we knew that, I think, any dynamic misdirection-based offense, same formations but different plays that come out of it, you've got to be able to base it off of the run because you need the defense to be in conflict, right? That's part of it. You need them to expect run in order to open up some of these big explosive passing plays. And Mark Rohde, you said this when you were out at Hallis Hall on Tuesday, that we feel like the discussion surrounding the running game was at a simmer at that point. Did it get to a low boil with what Ben Johnson had to say yesterday?
I think so, because just to paraphrase what he said the first day, he was asked the question, essentially, do you need an up ahead of the trade deadline, which is coming November 4th, do you need an upgrade at running back? And he said, basically, he said, we're fine. We're fine.
Our guys are going to be fine. I've kind of, it's not always the runners. It's everybody. And it's the quarterback carrying out his fake. It's the receivers blocking down the field. It's the tight ends doing their job. And the same thing with the offensive line. I think there's a lot of times on that tape we're not giving our runners a chance. So, yeah, I think we're fine there.
So when I hear that, I hear a cop-out answer. Like, I hear he's generalizing. He is making it universal, the problem, as opposed to actually calling out DeAndre Swift because he only has 187 yards rushing, or calling out Kyle Manungai because he only has 62 yards rushing and he goes backwards sometimes. Caleb Williams, by the way, is your second leading rusher right now, 24 carries for 110 yards. So that was kind of my thought process on it. However, yesterday he did take it up a notch, and I have changed my thought process on it. He was very specific about where things are going wrong with the running game. Listen to this.
Ben, with your running game, when you've talked about this lately, you've spoken highly of Swift and said there's more like collective problems here. What generally needs to improve in terms of your role as the play caller with that and the offensive line?
Yeah, you know, I think it's hard to evaluate any of our running backs right now when you turn on the tape and there's some free runners in the hole where the play is designed to go. And so I take, like I said last week, I take it personally because I actually spend more time on the run game than I do on the passing game, and not only trying to create explosives in the running game, but being sound, and take a lot of pride in our execution of the fundamentals of, you know, you talk about a deuce block, deuce combination, all looking the same, a triple between the tight end and the tackle, all looking the same. And we're not quite there yet. And so it's been a race since training camp started. We get pads on. That's when the full speed starts happening. And you get linebackers that are coming downhill and pulling you off your double teams. And we're just not reacting fast enough right now. And so we got to learn from everything that we put on tape so far as an entire unit so that those combinations can be a lot cleaner. And so we give our runners a chance because we do have some dynamic players, whether it's our running backs or our receivers, that if we can give them a chance to get a little bit of green grass, they take advantage of it. But we just haven't done it consistently enough.
That did not sound like a vote of confidence. That almost sounded very contradictory to what he said yesterday, even though I know the questions were a little different. I think he's saying as a team, they're not executing the plays well enough to run the ball like he wants.
Free runners in the hole. I mean, if that doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. So I now believe Ben Johnson when he says, although, look, all those guys, and we have a texture saying that, you know, what's the problem with DeAndre Swift? Seems like that's mostly in the media. And maybe to some degree that's true, but Ben Johnson is saying, at least right here and right now at this very moment, that it is the receivers, the offensive line, blocking assignments are not sound right now, is what Ben Johnson is saying. Now, if those get better and you're still not seeing explosive runs or better runs out of DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai and whomever else gets a chance to touch the football, then you start to talk about who can you bring in and how can you upgrade. All that said, Ben Johnson can say whatever he wants. I don't know if any of those running backs are back on this roster next year.
Well, here's the other problem. The center of the line hasn't done enough, even for all the upgrading that has gone on, to be able to open up the gaps that he talks about there. Yeah, that's a big part of this. Is as much as I want to love the upgrade in the middle of the line, and I frankly do think it is still an upgrade based on previous personnel. Are they doing enough? Are they getting enough of that forward block motion and opening up the run lanes? But I think part of the reason the Ben Johnson offense is able to cook is because you don't necessarily know if third and three is a passing down or a running down. And he wants to make sure of that. And he wants to run the same formation he does on a second and seven or a first and 10, where you don't know what you're getting. And then the run is a threat. And if they want to, they can. You know, that I think that's part of the structure of this offense. And we're not seeing that. And I think part of that also lies in, you know, you had better line personnel. You had better personnel overall in Detroit to run some of those schemes. And you don't necessarily have that fit to your talent yet, which is, again, why I said they should at least just wait to extend the guy in charge of personnel.
I still like the guys he brought in on the interior, but you're right. Like, it's not 100% there yet the way we all assumed it would be with Drew Dahlman. He's had some issues. Joe Tooney has been mostly good. Jonah Jackson has been far from perfect so far, and we all know what's going on with the tackle. So that plays a part in it. Got to have a tech, and I get these texts and questions all the time, and I've answered it as best I can, and that is from 847, what about Roschon Johnson? I can't call it yet, like, in terms of what's going on. All I could tell you is that I had a conversation with Roschon Johnson just before the bye, just went to his locker and, you know, was with the tape off, but he was cool with me sharing that. You know, I said, what's going on? And he said he mostly understands it and that he's just going to try his hardest on special teams. And he also said that he'd be surprised if he didn't start getting more carries, or maybe even frustrated if he doesn't start getting carries. But it's still a bit of a mystery. And maybe it's not. Maybe
well,
it's not.
Maybe we've seen him on special teams.
Well, oh, yeah. No, and when I'm saying maybe it's not a mystery, they don't really like him as a running back. I mean,
well,
that's pretty clear.
Why did they draft him?
Well, that, like, and that,
I mean, and the hype behind him was ridiculous. Oh, well, he backed up the best running back in the country. Here's the flip side to that. If you have the best running back in the country outright, one that's good enough to be drafted in a top 10, you're not really thinking all that much about your backup.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at Ben Johnson slowly undoing. You know, you get mad about the Ryan Poles thing. I understand. But see what's going on at left tackle. All of a sudden, Braxton Jones, who is like Poles' guy of guys, taken out, benched. It looks like Theo Benedet is going to start at the running back position. You think that he wouldn't be getting some carries if Matt Eberflus was still here, or if Ryan Poles had a say in this? Of course Roschon Johnson would have more carries. But Ben Johnson has said, or I think he clearly is saying, it's untenable to have Roschon Johnson getting a bulk of the carries. So he is chipping away at some of the things that Ryan Poles had put in place and we didn't think would see change.
Our segment of Raheem Harrison Grody is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And this is a good point from 847 when we're talking about the run game for the Bears. Isn't Dahlman a zone blocker? His specialty is outside zone. But I think they also wanted to sign him because, number one, they knew that the rhythm and the process between he and Caleb Williams would be more sound than what was in the past. He's also a better blocker outright than the centers from the past. So I like it for that reason, but you still want to be able to run up the middle here, and that's what he's trying to communicate.
I'm still very happy that he's here. Don't get me wrong, and you're right. I mean, that the one spot or one of the spots for Ryan Poles that has been impossible to get right is the center position. And look, Coleman Shelton was fine, but the Lucas Patrick signing was an absolute disaster for the Bears. And you had, you know, Sam Mustipher having to step in, and God bless Sam Mustipher for doing what he did and being a good soldier while he was with the Bears. There is an adult in the room at the center position in Drew Dahlman, so I am not, like, worried about him. I'm just saying that it's a work in progress, like the offense, which is the exact phraseology that Ben Johnson used about the offense.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Clay Harbor, former NFL player.
Clay Harbor, slot to the left. Here's Vic's pass, and it's caught. Touchdown by Harbor.
And that's a touchdown.
Clay Harbor makes that catch,
and they've got Harbor for the touchdown. 18-yard touchdown pass by Chad Henning.
Football analyst for Chicago Sports Network.
When you lose a game like the Bears did last year in Washington, do you talk about it this week?
Absolutely not. No, this was a different year. Completely new organization, completely new culture. Yes, there's an elephant in the room. You talk about it. Say, this happened last year. This is a new season.
Clay Harbor on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
That music means it is time for, yes, the former Philadelphia Eagle, Clay Harbor, NFL veteran. He also hosts the Big Pro Football Show with our friend David Hobb, Ruthie Polinsky over at CHSN. 9 years in the league, and he joins us on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score. Marshall's out today, so Clay's sitting in Marshall's chair. How does that feel? What's it like?
I just texted Marshall. I'm like, what are you, playing hooky from work? He's like, man, I'm in Philly. I'm like, so you're playing hooky from work?
Yeah.
He got the day off outright. Mitch told him to take it off.
Yeah, I just had to give him a little stuff. But I got to say, you know, thank you to the production team that found every single one of my career touchdowns and put them on the intro. I mean, that had to be pretty difficult.
Robbie. Unbelievable.
They're out there.
Robbie the tree. He found them. He did. Hold on a second, though, here. So you're like poo-pooing the whole Tyreek Stevenson narrative. Nobody should be talking about it. We're making too much of it. What's going on over there?
I get it right now as a member of the sports media community. It's something that we want to talk about. This happened last year. We think that it had this incredible impact on the rest of the Bears season. That one play ended the Bears season. If I'm in that Chicago Bears locker room, here's the first thing you got to realize. Half the players are new players. Half the players weren't even there. More than half the coaches, including your head coach, wasn't even there. This is a completely different organization. This is completely different coaching staff, new players. A lot of these guys weren't even there for that. So let's not forget about that.
But they all saw it, and it was pop culture, basically.
They saw it. It's pop culture. But here's what you do. There is an elephant in the room. You say, hey, this happened last year. This is a new team. This is a new organization. We're going to go out there. We're going to win the game. This has nothing at all to do with last year. That play last year is not going to give us 6. It's not going to give us 10. It's not going to give us -6. It's not going to give us -10. There is nothing that matters about that play this year. What matters is our matchups, how we go about this game plan, our practice habits and routines for the rest of this week, and we focus on what we're doing this week, and we get past that. That is in the past. We go out there and we focus on what we are doing right now, and that is going out there to beat the Washington Commanders, who are a good football team, got their quarterback back, who's really good at running the football, and we can't stop the football. That play last year isn't going to help you stop the run. Okay? I'm sorry. So you got to focus on the things that do help you stop the run if you want a chance at winning this game.
I also think, though, that a lot of times we, especially on the radio side, and I always try to operate like this, we have to be the voice for the fans. We're not the ones necessarily repeating what the team has to say. And while I understand that that is the team perspective, this is almost in a way between Tyreek Stevenson and Bears fans. Because fans last year, as you know, didn't think there was enough of a punishment there or enough of an acknowledgement. He ends up sitting out the half, as we saw, against the Cardinals, but still. So at least for him to address it the way he did, that is at least something for the fans to be okay with. Like, do you agree with that, Mark? Like, I think you understand, like, the fan standpoint, because you fielded a lot of calls all football season about it. Like, we heard a lot of it going on, so I feel like that's part of this in the discussion.
I absolutely loved it. I listened to the Byard podcast clips of him talking about it. Obviously, I listened to him in the locker room availability yesterday talking about it. I loved his response to it. He said, hey, this happened. This one play isn't going to be what defines my career. I'm going to go out and show people that I can get better. I can play. I can be a top cornerback in this league. He goes, I'm actually glad it happened because maybe I wasn't doing things the right way leading up to that situation. So guess what? I'm going to make this bad, horrible thing that happened in my career and my life turn out to be a long-term positive. I love his attitude for that. And that is something that you've seen these last couple games, for Tyreek Stevenson. He is starting to live up to that potential that we've seen. We've seen the big fumble. We've seen that incredible interception. He's averaging below a 60 pass rating when targeted these last couple games. He's averaging on the year below a 50% completion rate when targeted. This guy's actually playing some good football this year. And guess what? He doesn't even have Jalen Johnson there to take the number one receiver. So he is doing things that we wanted to see. And I think that this will be an important game for him, obviously, going back there. But I go back to, like, in Philly, when we had the miracle in the Meadowlands Part 2. Deshaun takes the punt return back. We win the division. Did anybody think about that game the next year when I'm lining up to try to block Justin Tuck or whoever they have? No.
Did they lose 10 in a row, though? That's that. I
mean, that's no, they didn't lose 10 in a row, but they lost a division with that football game. And yeah, they kicked it to us. We celebrated on their field. It was a big deal. But I'll tell you, that next game, when you're lining up, you have this guy across from you, there is nothing about that kick return, that punt return that Deshaun had that had anything to do with that game when we played the Giants in the division that next season.
He has, I will admit, Tyrique Stevenson has reclaimed his season because the first two games were not good. They were, in fact, especially the Detroit game was really bad. He admitted it. He said he doesn't want that stuff on tape. So you're right, and it's very important that he reclaim his season for his own future, for his own future with the Bears. I will say, we asked the question during Five on It, who is this game more important for, Tyrique Stevenson or Caleb Williams? Both of us answered Caleb Williams because it's always Caleb Williams. What are your thoughts on Caleb Williams after four games so far this season? What direction it's heading in, and what do you think about his chances in Washington?
I think Caleb's season is heading in the direction you want to see it, right? He's first in training camp. We're having issues with the pre-snap stuff. We've seen him kind of, you know, really become that. He's taken advantage of that. Now he's using the snap count in certain ways, and in the pre-snap stuff's good. He's starting to play more in rhythm. He's starting to play more in time. He's starting to play more in the pocket, exactly what you wanted to see. He's done a good job of escaping the rush, of doing some things in the pocket, the elusiveness. He has half the sacks at this point last year that he had. So that's a huge thing we wanted to see. The sack rate go down. That's gone down. I mean, he's done everything you want to see, and he's outperforming a lot of the quarterbacks from his quarterback pass class. I mean, you look at his passing yards, his total yards, his passer rating. I'm just looking at some of his numbers right there. He's doing a lot of good things. Now what we want to see is him going a little bit of a roll here. You know, he's won a couple games. Now let's see you beat a good team, a solid defense. You know, this Commanders defensive line is fourth in sacks. Like, that's something you don't hear much about. Like, they got a good D-line. So it's going to be – they're not known for their defense, but they're a lot better than they were last year, and it's going to be a challenge for them. So I want to see Caleb come out and just continue to grow on the things that we've seen so far this season. Let's see him play on time in the pocket. Let's see him get the ball out, avoid the sacks, get the ball to your playmakers. And I think he will do that. And I know there's obviously the lights are going to be shining bright. But for me, it seems like when they're shining the brightest, that's when Caleb is playing at his best.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I feel like he likes that scene. And for a guy who went to USC and played on that national stage and won a Heisman, that would make it make sense. And even in the nationally televised game last year against the Commanders, I think you saw that a little bit. We're talking to Clay Harbor, the NFL veteran host of the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN, joining us on Raheem Harris and Grody on The Score. What did you think of what Ben Johnson had to say about the run game yesterday? Because when he started talking about the blocking schemes, I think, not going to plan, that raised some red flags for Mark and me.
Yeah, the blocking schemes haven't been great, I'll be honest. Like, and he's saying some things that I've seen. He's talking about the deuce blocks, the double blocks, the triple blocks. It's just the double teams between the tackle, the tight ends, the guard and the tackle, the guard and center. It's very basic stuff, and he wants to see him marry up. And if you watch the last couple plays that Braxton Jones had as a starter, I mean, that's just him missing on a double team block. If your linebacker's lined up, head up by the tackle, and the defensive end is outside edge of the tight end, you're not going to be able, if you're the tackle, get a piece of that defensive end and climb to the linebacker. You get to the linebacker right now. Braxton Jones leaves a gaping hole, tries to give the tight end some help. Linebacker shoots the gap, tackles the running back in the background. He gets yanked for Theo Benedict. You see Theo Benedict in there. But when you look at this run game, I think the offensive line is probably middle of the pack. I think the running game needs to get better. You look at yards per carry on design runs, the Bears are fourth worst in the NFL. Okay, then you look at Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. He's second in yards after contact per attempt. He's averaging over 4 yards after contact per attempt. That's more than DeAndre Swift is averaging altogether. Mm-hmm. You look at some of the things. Ashton I love Gentry DeAndre Swift. I love DeAndre. I hate talking bad about DeAndre Swift because he's a hardworking guy. He's about his business, but the guy's not a between-the-tackle runner, does not break tackles, misses some holes in there, doesn't fall forward a lot. I don't think that this is his best spot where they're using him. He needs to be a guy that catches the ball, is out in space, is running around the edges. You needed another guy to put in there in the middle. And the crazy thing is you had all the opportunities to find someone. I think this is more the struggles in the running game would be more on the running back. And it's crazy to see J.K. Dobbins, fourth in the league in rushing. It's funny to see Javonte Williams, third in the league in rushing. He was a free agent before the season. It's funny to see Nick Chubb, top 20 in rushing with over 4 yards of carry. Some of these guys that were available, but they didn't even look at for an opportunity to bring in as a guy to put in next to Swift. And then obviously, you love Menungai. We loved him in preseason, but we haven't seen much from him. He looked good in the couple carries he's got last year. Want to see more from him. But in my opinion, I think that the running back in this situation has more to do than the offensive line in the lack of success of this running game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.